Marketing is a battlefield. Trends shift, strategies evolve, and only the bold stay ahead.
So, how do you cut through the noise and make an impact?
Welcome to the Marketing Pulse podcast, where we decode marketing one powerful conversation at a time.
Hosted by Mukwemba Mangangu, Tukia Tambatamba, and me, Grace Gondwe, we bring you insights, strategies, and real talk on what's shaping the industry.
Ready? Let's get into it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Marketing Pulse. My name is Grace Gondwe, and I will be hosting the episode today. Unfortunately, my co-hosts are not here today. Mukwemba and Tukia are otherwise engaged, but we're going to have a good episode nonetheless. We have a wonderful guest, and we will be discussing content marketing. So buckle your seatbelts, because this also happens to be our first all girls episode. And I'm so very excited. I don't know why we didn't do this on Women's Day. We should have done a girls episode on Women's Day. We'll remember that when we're making our content calendar next year. But I have with me somebody who I've known for quite a few years now. And we've been trying to get this conversation to happen for a while. And calendars are finally aligned. So Kasongo, welcome to the Marketing Pulse.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm pretty excited. Being here brings, like, it's so nostalgic. Yeah. Seeing you and being face to face together. And I'm so excited. It's just the two of us.
Yeah.
So for those that are not here, yeah, you missed out.
Yeah, you're missing out on some really good vibes. So Kasongo and I were together in university. And it's been so interesting seeing her career evolve and seeing all the amazing things that she's doing. So this is something that usually Mukwemba would do, reading the guest bio, but again, he's not here. So I'm just going to share a little bit about you, and then we'll get into the conversation.
It's exciting
today
to hear about yourself from another person.
From somebody else, okay.
I feel important.
Drum roll. So Kasongo is a results-driven communications and digital marketing professional with over 5 years of experience in content strategy, brand storytelling, and audience engagement. She is highly skilled in leading digital campaigns, managing cross-functional teams, and driving brand growth through data-driven marketing strategies. With a proven ability to craft high-impact content, enhance digital presence, and build engagement in online communities, Kasongo brings both creativity and strategic insights to her work. She has successfully led content teams, overseen performance analytics, and aligned marketing initiatives with broader business objectives. Now, that's some grown-up stuff.
I know, right? I'm sitting here, I'm like, that's me.
Yes. That is you. And like I said, it's been so amazing seeing you evolve and get to where you are at today. How did you get into marketing?
Funny story. So when we were in uni together, we're at CBU, the mighty CBU, yes. I know. I went to study geometric engineering. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it was the darkest part of my life. Simply because during that time, I went because the opportunity showed itself.
Yeah.
If you're very familiar with how, like, the CBU and UNSA system works, is you apply for one thing, mm-hmm. and sometimes if there's no space, they'll just give you the next better thing. Yeah. So that's what happened to me. Mm-hmm. So I got that geometric engineering, and I said, okay, instead of me wasting that opportunity, let me go.
Go and see.
Worst mistake of my life. Well, not really, because we got to meet.
Yes. I mean, there's always value. But I mean, truly, you can, some decisions are not always the right ones.
Yes. Yeah. So I went, and that was a very hard time for my family, because we were going through a very tough time. Mm-hmm. My dad lost his business. Mm-hmm. My mom's business was struggling. And we just were in a very bad space. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have BC.
So
I was literally hanging on the edge.
Yeah.
Trying to support school. My parents trying to support me through school. And self-sponsorship, you know, oh no, can post get really, weeks. Yes. And I tried applying for a BC for like so long, and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I reached a point where I just said, you know what, maybe this is not where God wants me to be. So I took a step back, mm-hmm. came back home. It was very hard.
Yeah.
You know, coming back and saying, I went to CBU and now I'm back. I'm back to nothing.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking to a friend of mine who said, why don't you do something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah.
Go and study journalism. I've always wanted to be a journalist, like since I was very young.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I come to Lusaka and I go to Evelyn Horn and I'm studying journalism and public relations. Yeah. And my career kind of just flew from there.
Yeah.
Because from my very first year, I started practicing and I did a lot of internships.
Okay.
And I started out there.
Mm-hmm.
My passion for marketing sort of generated from that space.
Mm, evolved, yeah.
Because I've always been interested in like social media marketing and everything in that space, because I felt like it was an easier flow to get into without really having like the professional, the degree to do social media. It was always something digital that you could pick up really easily. Yeah. So jumping into that was kind of like easy.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, I said, okay, how can I bridge like journalism and public relations into communications and marketing?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, something I'm also passionate about is film. So why don't I put those together? And I went back to school and I went to Open Window University and I studied film and design. So then that put everything together and I had this beautiful opportunity to join the organization that I work for. And everything just skyrocketed from that. And we've been doing marketing now, getting to do a lot of content writing, which I'm very passionate about because I feel like that's my baby. I've always loved it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how things evolved to get into a place where I am now.
It's very interesting. You know, we've spoken to a lot of people, some a little more early career, some a bit more seasoned. And I think I personally like to hear these stories of how did you get into this space? And we have so many people. We have people coming from technical backgrounds.
Yeah.
You know, people who are coming from, they went to school and they studied marketing. And then there are people who've also just stumbled into this space.
You know what's funny is everybody I've met so far
did
not really study marketing.
Yeah.
It's like they just found themselves in this space, okay.
Yeah.
And then they love it and then they grow like
into it. Yeah.
Which is so beautiful. And I feel like this is an opportunity for people to take advantage of.
It is. It speaks to the very dynamic nature of what marketing is. And it also speaks to, I think it is cross-sectoral, like wherever you are, even if you don't realize it, there is some marketing that you're doing. And I think that's the thing that I love so much about it.
Yeah.
I went to CBU not to study marketing. I wanted to do business administration. I went there thinking I'm going to do this BBA degree, and then, you know, all of these other things are going to evolve out of that. The journey started there and I found myself enjoying this and then realigned or rerouted accordingly. So thank you for sharing your story. The next thing we like to ask our guests is, what does marketing mean to you? There's obviously the textbook definition. There's technical definitions that you hear, especially in digital marketing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a specific way
you want to define it and how it's said.
But focus on goal. What is marketing?
I mean, to me, marketing is an art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a science.
Mm.
I like to believe that it's a science of shaping perception to drive an action.
Mm.
And when I say that, because marketing is not always intended to sell, which is the perception that most people have.
That's a good one.
When you're marketing, your intention is not always to make people buy something or to promote something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's for awareness purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say it's an art of perception, changing someone to make an action.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly believe that, because when you put out things out there, you want them to take a step. You want them to make a decision.
Yeah.
You want them to emotionally connect with the decision that they're making and change the behavior of what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's what marketing means to me.
That's a really good one. I don't think we've had one that has spoken to that emotional aspect of the decision-making process like that. But that's really, really true. I just finished reading, there's a book called Hooked. What's his name? Nier Eyal.
I should read that one.
You should. It's a really good one. Mukwemba gave it to me and he said, you need to read this. And I finally got around to reading it.
You know, funny thing is, when people say read, I don't read. I listen to audiobooks because I just feel like I never had the time. So sometimes I kind of feel inferior, like,
I listen to the audiobooks. No, girl. As long as the information is being assimilated,
It's still the same.
Nir Eyal's argument in Hooked is basically there's product design that can be done in such a way that the product is made to be an essential in the life of the user. And it's really what you're speaking to is you want to influence their perception, and you can influence their perception so much so that even something that they didn't know they needed, becomes essential to their day-to-day life. And it can be very subtle. You know, it can be just putting a picture somewhere, positioning a bottle of Manzi in an advert or in a movie.
Yes, or somebody eating your favorite crisp in that particular film.
Without you even thinking and acknowledging consciously that this is what is happening.
Exactly.
Marketing can influence those decisions. And I think that's very, very powerful. So let's get into it. You are a content marketing expert.
Yes.
Can you tell us, you know, what is it if somebody comes to the content marketing conversation and they don't know what content marketing is? And I think we'll get into campaigns as well. They don't know what campaigns are. Tell us, what is content marketing? What is campaign management? And you know, why is it important?
I mean, content marketing is being able to write copy that persuades people to make an action yet again.
Okay,
but focus is on...
Let's go to the fundamental. What is copy?
What is copy?
Yes.
So the basic term for copy is a group of words that you put together for a cause or an action or a goal.
Mm-hmm.
So this has to have a hook, like we're saying. It has to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It has to capture the audience in a way that they feel like they can't scroll past it. They feel like they can't just look at it without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes when you look at something on like your Facebook, your Instagram, and you're like, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No, sometimes it could even be the longest passage, but the first few lines that they wrote in there make you think like, okay, this is something I should read. This is something I should know.
Mm-hmm.
So copy is those group of words that you put together for a particular cause or to achieve something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So copy then is what forms the content and the campaigns that you run.
Yes.
Okay. So now tell us about this content and these campaigns and why that is important. Why do people want to run campaigns and what value comes out of that?
I mean, I'll start by saying this. People are so tired of being sold to.
Yeah.
And in today's time, attention is literally currency.
Yes.
So once you get somebody's attention, you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
So customers are spreading more of their attention very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything that's happening, flooding of like ads and trends and stuff, you need something that will bridge the gap between human life and what you're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where campaign content comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It bridges the gap for, okay, this is something that's happening and this is what a brand is about.
Mm-hmm.
You put that together to create a campaign content.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because whatever that you do in writing content has to have a narrative about real life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So bridging that together is how define content marketing, because you have to create a space where you're trying to communicate about a brand and you're trying to relate to what people are going through in today's time and in their space, in their community.
That's so interesting. So is it a requirement? Can you have a campaign that is detached from current happenings? Like, is it possible for someone to run a campaign, or is the effectiveness of campaigns dependent on how strong the correlation is with the goings on currently?
I strongly believe that once you have a very good narrative with your campaign, it's easy flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Even your budget will not have to work very hard. So yes, you can run a campaign without having like a proper narrative to what's happening, but how far it goes and how far people will remember it will matter.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
A brand that I really love and I've worked on from like since inception is Lay's. You've heard of the Lay's crisps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about Lay's, we want you to think about a snack that you can have whenever you are watching a game, right?
Mm.
We want you, every time you think about watching a game, you want to have Lay's because they relate to one another. It's a fun snack. It's easy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were putting out a campaign for what we were calling the No Lay's, No Game campaign, we thought, okay, in today's time, what's happening that will make people want to have Lay's but also want to enjoy the game and also want to go onto the platform? And we said, okay, look, there's load shedding. It's affecting all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to say about it? We'll say, you know, buy two packs of Lay's crisps and get to win a power bank. And we're saying, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So people love the Lay's crisps.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Good. When they buy it, we want them to watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to watch it? It's using a phone, but there's no electricity, so we're giving them a power bank.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's within the narrative of what they're doing now, mm-hmm. but also trying to push the agenda of what we're selling.
Yeah.
So that's how you bring that together. So yes, you can have a campaign mm-hmm. that's not built on narrative, but how far it will go and how people will remember it really matters.
I see. So the narrative amplifies the impact of the campaign.
Definitely.
That's really, really cool. You've given one example already. Are there any other examples of campaigns that you've worked on that you've enjoyed and that have maybe even changed how you view campaigns and marketing in general?
I want to mention this first of all. Mm. Lays was a very big thing. It was very new for like Zambia.
Uh-huh.
So executing that and doing it in the grand way that we did mm-hmm. made us win an award, which I'm very proud of.
I see. Tell us about that.
So the campaign itself won an award for best execution with a very small budget.
I see.
Which is like big.
Yeah.
Which is like really big in that space. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
And another campaign that I worked on that I'm really proud of was for a hygiene brand called Stay Soft.
Mm.
So Stay Soft, as we may know, we've grown up, it's like a childhood brand.
Yes,
we've
yes.
known, anytime you want to like buy a fabric softener, you're thinking Stay Soft
yes.
because it's been embedded in our like culture.
Yes.
So we once did a campaign. They were trying to launch a new variant of...
is it the concentrate?
Yes, the concentrate, mm. but the sachets.
Mm.
So we're all used to like the big bottle, right? And then they say, okay, we have a little bit, something different, something small,
mm.
so that it just doesn't target like... Like the upper mwambas, like we would
yes,
say,
yes.
because you know, like the original pack on the original size of the bottle is a bit expensive,
yes.
but we want to target everybody and to enjoy like the new concentrate.
Yes.
So we said, let's put it in a sachet. Mm-hmm. So we're rolling out this awareness campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want people to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some very great content that went out for that. People
mm-hmm.
were really enjoying. We had lots of feedback
mm-hmm.
and the campaign overall was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look back at that and I'm like, oh, the impact is seen.
Yes.
And when I see now and I'm walking in the street and I see a Stay Soft
yeah.
ad and I'm just like, oh my God, I did that.
I did that, like, yes.
it's so I even run out of words. Like it's so impressive.
Yeah.
It's very nice to see. So I'm really proud of those two. Yeah.
Very interesting. Just for our guests to know that if you are craving a pack of Lays or you are in the store and you're like, let me get Stay Soft, it's probably because Kasongo.
I don't want to take all the credit because someone will be like, oh, we also
it's
like
it's probably
goodness.
Because Kasongo but and the team.
Yes.
Did some work that influenced your purchasing decision.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it from a very practical perspective. If you are a small business owner and you are wanting to run a campaign, what steps would you take? As a person, I run a small business
mm-hmm.
and I want to do a campaign. I have mm-hmm. very limited budget, obviously, like we are saying, small budget, but I want something that will,
mm-hmm.
you know, shift my sales or shift my awareness. What's like one, two, three things that I can do?
I think first of all is understand your business.
Mm.
Know it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're creating first is your brand.
Mm.
So align what your objectives are for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know that, then go into what campaign do I want to do for this brand?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm new on the market. I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I want awareness, right? I want
mm-hmm.
people to know that I exist. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say line up your objectives.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to achieve from this awareness campaign that you've embarked on?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get sales?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get recognition? Do you want to get followers?
Mm-hmm.
Once you identify that, then identify your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm selling this product or I have this service.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I want to purchase? Who do I want to experience it?
Mm-hmm.
Once you know the audience in which you want to target,
mm-hmm.
it makes things very easier because then you ask yourself the question of where are they found?
Mm-hmm.
What are their interests?
Mm-hmm.
Which platform are they found on?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I engage with them? How do they speak?
Mm-hmm.
How would the type of content that I put out relate to that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the very first steps that I would take as
mm-hmm.
a new entrepreneur on the market trying to start a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the basics, foundations for what you get to do
mm-hmm.
before you even engage into execution.
Mm-hmm.
Understand those.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you execute, make sure that your content is straight. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
People are so tired of all the time explaining so many things. And again, I want to mention,
mm-hmm.
when people start out, they always want to sound smart. Mm-hmm. So you find an entrepreneur, they're new on the market, and they are putting all this content that they're putting, so like so too much jargon. Mm-hmm. So you're saying a lot of things. Yes, you are educated, we know, but bring it down to earth. Mm-hmm. Say things that people will be able to relate with. Mm-hmm. Simple. Just say the simple things. It's mm-hmm. the simple things that really catch on with people. Mm-hmm. So once you've established all of that, and you get to putting out your content, make it simple, make it straight, make it resonate. Make it resonate with your audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I mentioned this one in a previous episode, but it's coming to mind again. Is there's a young lady, I don't know if she's come across your social media. Yeah. She's positioning herself as an interior designer.
Yeah.
It's like, hi, I'm such and such and I'm 21 years old and come with me to become the best interior designer in the country.
I don't think I have.
And yeah, I'm giving
she's
so
Zambian.
Much. She's Zambian. Okay. I'm giving her so much free publicity. Yeah. I need to stop.
You need but, to need to bring her on.
Maybe that's what we actually need to do. So, but I think what I was saying when I mentioned her last is she's really simplifying, like talking about. I know in my context, people don't really talk about interior design. It's not like this big thing. So come along with me as I kind of like demystify what this is about.
Yes.
And I think, I haven't checked recently, but I think her followership is really growing. And I think it's owed to that simplicity. Like it's not super complicated.
Yes.
It's like, this might seem high level, but here is how you can make it very simple and very, very practical.
Yeah.
Something I want to ask about is context, right? You're working with these big international brands.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about copy and you've spoken about the audience, obviously you need to understand even the cultural context of the people that you're working with. How do you balance this global perspective with understanding the cultural context of the market that you're working with? And are there any like specific things that you do? Is there like a mental mojo that you put on to make sure that yes, you're keeping this global perspective, this high level quality, but also still speaking to the heart of the Zambian when you're making these campaigns?
I mean, it all starts in the brief.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that brief, right, and the client has all these expectations for what they want or what their brand represents,
mm-hmm.
when you understand them, you understand the tone of voice of which, how the brand speaks.
Mm.
You explain to your client,
mm-hmm.
we're in Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this works.
Yes.
This works in other countries, but here we don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example to Lay's again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the international world, everybody, when they look at crisps, they say,
yes.
When they say crisps, they say chips.
Yes,
right?
They call them chips.
They
yes.
call them chips. Yes. But here in Zambia, we don't call
no,
them
we
chips.
We don't. It's crisps.
We say crisps.
Yes.
So when the client comes in and they're saying, oh no, we want to introduce this new pack of chips and whatever. And we're like, first of all, Zambians don't know chips.
You know what?
They know crisps.
Chips are potato fries.
Exactly. Yes. They are fries here in Zambia.
Yeah.
So we explain those narratives. We say, look, this is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
We have to localize it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back to Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
And how we do that is that from the onset, once the brief is given, say, okay, we understand your tone of voice, but this is what we think according
mm-hmm.
to the market in which we're working
mm-hmm.
to. So you make sure that they also understand
mm-hmm.
to say, look, this is the market, this is how we work, and this is how things run here.
Mm-hmm.
What works in the US, what works in the European countries might not really work here,
mm-hmm.
but having that understanding from the onset really helps
mm-hmm.
because once you bring it back home, you want people to engage with it. You want people to know it.
Mm-hmm.
When you do certain campaigns where your goal could be straight.
Mm.
You could pick all your you tick all your boxes when
mm.
it comes to like your briefing and like the client's perspective.
Mm.
But once you go on the ground and do your research itself, you realize that, okay, this might not really work
mm.
in Zambia, but how can we twist it
mm-hmm.
to make it more conceptual, like make it work better for like the Zambian audience
mm.
or for like the market that you're working in.
Mm.
So it's all based on from the beginning,
mm.
understand one another, explain
mm.
each other's context,
mm.
bring them to understand what it's about, where you are, and in the environment in which you're working.
Mm.
Yeah.
You said something about research, and that's something that we're always talking about, is you need to get information about your audience, you need to get information about your market and the things that will resonate with them and the things that might not.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, how do you... Again, we want to be very practical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you getting information about your clients? Do you use like a Google form? Do you use a poll? Do you send people out to go and ask these questions? Like, how do you go about doing that?
All of the above, really. I mean, first of all, you start from your local environment, from the people you work with. What do you understand about this brand? Or you've heard about this water. When you think about it, how do you feel? You get that. You start from where you are. Then obviously your friends and your family. I always like to, like we're saying, it's practical. Because obviously there's tools that will get you there. But practically, when you're starting, start from your environment. Ask the people around you. Get to social media. See what people are talking about in like your, when you just type the word or the brand. Try to find like, what are the comments saying? What are people maybe on TikTok vibing when it comes to like this type of thing that you're talking about? Go on the ground, actually do the research with the limited resources that you have. Then of course there are tools that you can use to get there, but practically start from where you are. Ask the questions. Obviously you can do even do like little surveys that you can start from like your friends and family, close people, and then you do that groundwork, then the other things can come.
Can be added on.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. I like the just go to your friends and ask.
Yes.
That, it, I mean, because of how the culture, you can assess, you can get the temperature of the culture and what people think, even just by your immediate environment. And that's really cool. We touched on copy, but I think I would like for us to go back to that because that's the essence of what the campaign is going to be. So I've identified my audience. I know who I want to speak to. I know, you know, maybe I've decided I want to build awareness. And so let's now come to the actual content of the campaign. What's, if you are at your desk and you have this campaign to write for, how are you doing it? Like, how do you, it's creativity, you know, it's like, and creativity is not very easy.
Yeah.
So how do you, what's the juice?
What's the preparation like?
Yes.
I mean, when I start, first of all, when I get a brief for a copy or for a campaign that I'm doing, I don't just wake up and start doing it, right? So I like to clarify what the campaign objectives are. Like, what are we trying to achieve with this campaign? Is it awareness? Is it engagement? Is it conversion? Is it behavior change? And I think about the KPIs, right? What do we want to get out of this once we identify? Is it click-through rate? Is it WhatsApp entries? Is there a particular goal that we want to achieve with this? And, you know, without a goal, your content really won't have anywhere where to stand. Then I'll go back to like understanding the audience, which I've already spoke about. But something very important as well is to develop a narrative and a storyline. And I like to say this all the time that I turn brand campaigns into brand narratives. I like to say that a lot because it always comes back to like the audience. It always comes back to the people that are actually on the ground. So develop a narrative. Create a story, an emotional hook for when you write. So how does your product solve a problem? How does it relate to somebody? Is it, what local context can you put it in? For example, like I said, power cuts. Or is, are you talking about like school runs? Is it transport delays? You know, and everything in that line. Then also I would talk about channels. You know, channels really matter. Platforms of where you put this content out, even when you write, it's different. The way you'd write for like your TikTok is different from how you write from like your Facebook, how you write like for X.
The voice is different.
It's completely different. Even the way you form your words is different.
Yes.
Because we now know that when you're writing for LinkedIn, you don't want to write like long paragraphs. You write shortly two paragraphs to get to your point, right? Because people are not going to read it. So you also understand how like the platform you want to put that content out on really matters. So once that is put in line, you choose the right channels, you write correctly for those channels. That's the basis of how you write your copy, because everything ties into what you're going to write. And the first three words of what you write is your hook. Make sure that your hook is straight. Is it relatable? Is it, I want somebody to read the first few lines and go like, oh, this is funny. Oh, let me share this. That's where your copy should start from.
I've been seeing a lot about the hook. You need a hook. You need a hook. You need a, oh, your hook needs to be strong. You need a, what makes, like you are saying, it should capture your, should capture someone's attention and so on. Is there a formula that somebody can use for a good hook, or does it just come to you?
I always like to say that it begins with something real. That's the formula. Start with something real. Something that's happening. something that someone can relate to. Mm-hmm. For example, you say, and I'll talk about load shedding again because it's what's happening.
Yes.
You want to write whatever it is you're writing about, try to relate to that. Maybe you start with load shedding a chan. It's your hook because first of all, it's something somebody you relate to first.
Yes.
Or for example, you could talk about maybe if you're writing for like a feminine brand or for like hair products and be like, detangling, ka? You know what I mean? Like something that will get somebody's attention for what you are doing, like immediately they'll think about, this is something I can relate to.
So, you know what I like about this? I like that you're using local language.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me.
You know, I realize that my culture and my environment and my upbringing really has affected how I write. So most of the time I do fall into like really local lingo. And I find that that really resonates with people here in Zambia, depending on the brand.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like to go into that a lot.
We've spoken about it here on the podcast as well, that we are so excited to see Zambian content creators growing. And when we talk about Zambian content creators, we're talking about especially the ones whose content is kind of more local.
Yes.
Like they are talking about growing up in Zambia.
Those are the content creators I follow. You know,
yes. It's so refreshing to come online to an online space and find home.
Yes. You know? Find your community.
Because the truth is, social media is coming to us from a different context.
Yes.
So to see people creating spaces where we can be ourselves without having to like adjust or view things from another person's lens is really, really cool. So yeah, hearing you come up with those hooks, and for sure, if I scroll on my social media and someone says load shedding mwanti,
you want to see what are like, the comments?
Let's see what's going on here.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for sharing that. For me personally, I'm currently working on my LinkedIn and trying to see to find what works, and that's why I asked specifically about the hook. So I'm asking with personal interest because I've been trying to kind of like refine what is the best way to communicate this, and that hook thing has come up a lot. So that's homework for me. to go and think
also
about.
Also, another tip that I'd like to give. Sometimes I do like LinkedIn classes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Avoid, like, in your first few sentences of your LinkedIn, make it very short, like very short, almost like a title, almost three, five words.
Mm-hmm.
Make it very, very short so that you know how what the algorithm does is that when you're scrolling past your LinkedIn, right, the first few words that you see, it only gives you like five words. Then the rest are covered, right?
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that whatever you're communicating, that first paragraph is a full sentence that makes sense. So that is your hook for like your LinkedIn. Make sure it makes sense. And in your first few paragraphs, avoid emojis because then the algorithm will cancel you out.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's part of like creating your hook.
Yeah. That's so interesting. That's a very practical one. Thank you so much for sharing that. Something that you captured really, really well, even in your bio, is the metric side of things.
Yes. That's where the client loves.
Yes.
They want to see the
measurable. Yeah. In your experience with campaigns, what things are you measuring? What guides what you measure? And speaking from an individual who wants to get into campaigns, how can they go about measuring what matters and measuring well?
Yeah, I mean, your content can be effective unless you define what success looks like, right? And it depends on your campaign goal. So part of the metrics that you can measure is, number one, your reach. Are people getting their eyes on your content? Are people actually seeing what you're putting out there? Your engagement, right? The likes, the shares, the comments. Are people actually interacting with the content that you're putting out? And then conversions. Are people actually clicking if you have a link? Are people joining your WhatsApp group? Is there a follow-up after you write your content, right? Also, your sentiment and how you get your sentiment is you see the comments. What is the feel around the brand for people? And that's why community management really matters as well for brands. Not even just big brands, but also personal brands. Like, what's the sentiment of your people? You only know that once you do your community management, right? So you're seeing the comments. What are people talking about? What's in your inbox? Like, what are they saying? What's the sentiment around your brand? Is it positive? Is it neutral? Is it negative? Really matters as well. And then your share of voice. So are you being talked about more than your competitors? You like, you remember what we said about stay soft? Mm-hmm. Every time we think fabric softener, we think stay soft, yes. Even though there's so many other fabric softeners that are even better, right?
Yeah.
But it's what the share of voice really matters. So you don't want to mistake, again, likes for impact, right?
Yes.
Because a post with 100 thought comments might perform or outperform something with like 500 views, right? Yeah. Because it's not always like, if you have 500 likes, does not always convert to what people think.
500 buys.
Yes.
Not necessarily 500
at
buys.
Oh, yeah. Because there's what we call boosting as well, right?
Yes.
Because
yes,
again,
yes.
Content on itself doesn't work on its own. It works along with your boosts because that's how the algorithm is set up as well. So you have to really be careful with that. So again, you realize that in the Zambian context or the African context, right, you might not really get these sentiments because some of them you can only achieve them when you're using certain software, right? So you also have to find a way to use proxies. So how you can do that is, for example, you go onto the platform itself and find out, like, are people actually commenting? Yes, they're actually commenting. How many, like, go to the platform itself, actually get, like, screenshots manually. What are people saying? Is it positive? You gather, like, 10, 20. Now you know that, okay, it's positive. I actually did it. And then you do, like, if you run a campaign and it's also, like, on radio and stuff, you get, like, your Vox Box. Like, what are people saying about the brand itself when they call in? Is it positive? Is it negative? Like, what is the natural conversation around it? You also do, like, offline activations, right? So whatever you do, you when people, maybe it's outside of like your normal platform like Facebook, Instagram, go on the ground, maybe through radio and get like, when people, did you hear this on the radio? Like, have you come across this like outside of like your normal, these Gen Z millennial kind of platforms? What is the sentiment around that? Because that also matters. We know that in Africa, we don't have the exposure sometimes and we don't have the software to get us there, but you can do things that can get you on the ground manually. And that also really matters.
You spoke about sentiment analysis, and a big conversation at the moment is Gen AI.
Yes.
And how it's coming to take our jobs, especially for marketers.
Yes.
How can, this is completely unrelated. I think we didn't even have it in our notes. But how can a marketer, again, bootstrapping, someone with minimal resources, how can I leverage Gen AI, you know, for things like sentiment analysis, maybe for helping me with measuring and doing my analytics? Are there any tools, not expensive, not like super expensive,
like
tools
free
that you
ones.
Would recommend, yes, that somebody can use to help boost their campaign management?
So first of all, I want to say that AI is not out to get us. And I have a whole blog about it on my LinkedIn. It's here to help us improve. And when we see like the vision or there's a report that came out for what jobs look like in the next, five years. And part of the jobs that we're going to remain is marketing, because they're saying you have to be able to use AI throughout these things to get better. So it's not out to get us. It's actually out there to help us. To enhance how we do it. So some of the free tools that you can use that are inexpensive, Facebook Meta, we all know Meta. Meta is free. It gives you some sentiments to a certain level where it can like give you what the analytics look like, how your page performance is doing. And even just manually, like I said, like go into the platform. Sometimes these algorithms are set up in a way that they don't work for your benefit, especially if you're not paying. But actually going onto your platform and seeing for yourself, asking people around you to say, have you even heard about this? Or I have this new business. Have you heard about it? So that you go beyond what your ads are doing, beyond what is just on your platform. To get that sentiment. So yeah, there's a little bit more as well. I also like to believe that part of what you can get with analytics and software is try and use your comment section very, very well. You can use that as a tool to see how far your content is going. Is it beyond the copy that you just wrote? You know, you might write something and put a call to action to it that goes past what you're trying to achieve. So you can also use that as a metric to actually identify your sentiment. Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Just knowing if there's something that we always want people to come away with from listening to the podcast is practical things that they can do. And I think we've had so many gems. Like I think personally, I've never thought about how the algorithm could work against you if you're using the free, if you're not paying them.
Yeah.
Because they won't work with you if you're not paying
them. Trust me, Grace,
them.
Like these people want us to pay.
Yes.
They want to make money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I was speaking to this again because I realized it started being a problem for me.
Mm.
I realized that whenever we're not boosting content, my content is not performing well.
Mm.
For like even brands that we work for. And I'm like, am I a bad writer?
Mm.
And I thought about it. Like, let me do a little bit of a research. And I figured, like, the algorithm is not set up for our benefit. Like, Facebook and all these other platforms, they want to make money.
Yeah.
And they will make money once you boost. So your metrics will not look good if it's only organic. And that's why content does not go only organic. It will kill you. You'll be depressed. You'll feel like you're not doing anything, even though you're creative.
Mm.
They work hand in hand. Yeah.
Homework. Homework to find budget.
A little bit. You don't have but just a bit.
Just a little bit. And I mean, I guess if this is something that you want to do, it's worth the investment.
Yes.
To, you know, put in the resources.
I mean, the results are massive
yeah.
also. Even just on like,
there's,
yes.
It's a the thing about social media and the internet is you stand to gain disproportionately more
yes.
than what you put in.
Yes.
So yeah, I guess it is worth the investment.
It's definitely worth it.
Worth the investment, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, we've spoken about measuring. We've spoken about the things to think about. In the Zambian context,
mm-hmm.
a campaign that you didn't work on
mm-hmm.
that you think went really well.
A campaign that... Okay. And I say this without like a true reflection of who I am or what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There was a campaign that was out for this alcohol, the beer, the Mosi. I don't know if it was Mosi or the Icon.
The one they hid.
Yes.
Yeah. So they said something is coming. Yes. Something is coming. Yes.
A good friend of mine worked on that idea.
I see.
And I'm really proud of that one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the perception of people in Zambia is that we don't like local things.
Ah,
it's just true.
Yeah.
We're trying to change things now, but yeah. we don't like local. So when people were tasting this Mosi or this drink, when the people that drink know what it tastes like.
Yeah.
They know yes, the yes, feel. They know yes. the sensation that they get.
Yes.
But when it was covered and said Icon.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're like, this is a new international
nice.
Brand. It's new.
Nice. Yes.
Even people that have had it before, even influencers.
Yes.
When they said, what do you think? They said, oh, this is a nice brand. This is so different.
Yes.
And then once they did the review, right?
Yes.
And they're like, oh, it's actually
it's our local.
The
same one. Yeah.
I'm really proud of that campaign
yeah.
because I look back and I'm like, wow. It really shows like who we are now as a country.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
brings that and how it's kind of humbling
yes.
and really shows like where we are. But that was a really successful campaign in my view.
Yeah.
Another campaign that I'm really proud of is the Junta campaign. When they put somebody in the bottle, did you see that?
No.
It was really cool.
Oh my goodness. How did I not? Oh my goodness.
So there was this campaign that about Junta because they were trying to spread awareness to say like Junta is bad for you.
Okay.
It gets people and the effects for people to see the effects.
Yes.
But the idea was like umuntu na amubikamu Junta bottle. And they literally created a bottle with somebody in it in intercity. That was epic.
Wow.
I wish I worked on that campaign.
Wow.
But it was such an epic campaign because it was on the news and everybody saying, "Umuntu na amubikamu Junta." Like when you hear it for the first time, like what's happening? Like somebody is in your Junta bottle.
The undertones of our superstitious culture
yeah.
of where it's like you've been bewitched
yes.
and you've been put in,
yes,
a bottle.
In a bottle.
The double entendre of that is so interesting.
It was so epic.
Wow.
I'm so sorry. Please check it out. It was
epic
campaign.
I need to look for who managed that.
It was, I think it was by the Zambia Breweries, but I'm not sure, but I know some of the people that worked on it. So it
That's
was
interesting.
It was such a beautiful campaign and the awareness was because it really achieved the goal.
Mm.
People were like, oh, so this is what happens when you drink Junta. Of course, we're being metaphoric and
yes.
saying you're in a bottle,
yeah,
but
a bottle
what it means is that you get addicted.
Yes.
It puts you in a place where you cannot be yourself.
Yes, yeah. Controlled.
Exactly.
Caged.
Yes. And that was a beautiful campaign. I'm really proud of that. Zambia could do that.
Yeah.
I was really happy. I saw that. I was just mind blown. Yeah.
That's so interesting. We need to find that, that campaign. I didn't see that. That's so cool. That's really, really cool. One that didn't work, one that you feel like missed the mark.
That I worked on or?
I mean, it could be even one that you worked on. Maybe two, to give us two. One that you worked on that you feel could have been executed better and maybe
yeah.
one from somebody else.
One that I feel like really flopped is another hygiene brand that I worked on.
Mm.
And in the beginning, we had the brief to the T. We understood the assignment professionally and in the boardroom in the meeting. And the execution was good. The visuals were fine. I mean, everything that we did was in align. It was aligned with what the brief was asking, what the client was asking. But when it went live, the metrics weren't saying otherwise, despite boosting. And the reason behind that was simply because we didn't use UCG. For this particular brand, right, people are so used to, when it comes to like hygiene products, people are used to seeing people that they know, people that are real human beings, right, that have actually experienced the thing, especially with hygiene, right? So when we carried that out, we used very generic, you know, those videos are generic and stuff. It didn't resonate with the people because they felt like, like,
who's that?
Like, those people already have clear skin. You know what I mean? Like, these people already have like good, but when we went back to our drawing board and said, maybe let's try UCG. So we got influencers. We got like real life content. And like, actually, the idea was okay. It's just the execution. And that's what happens again with like content writing and like campaigns. Things like that will happen. But going back to like your drawing board, re-strategizing and coming up really, really matters. And afterwards, I mean, we got good metrics after that. Yeah.
That's so interesting. I'm very curious about those, identifying which those things are where you can have like just like a global or a generic framework used and it works, and what are those things where you need somebody to come in and say, actually I used this and it worked. You know, I'm very, very curious about how like, have you gotten a system of identifying, or is it a matter of going to the market and seeing first and then coming back and managing that?
I mean, also it starts from the understanding of the brand even before you get to that. There are brands which are very new in the market. Nobody knows about them. So people have not even experienced it firsthand. And then there are brands that people know, maybe they've used once in a while. And without mentioning names, I'm going to say there are two famous mayonnaise, right? That we know them. So one of them, we're used to them because we've seen them, we've tasted over them, we've time. Grown up with them. And then there's this other one, right? Where it's been there for years, but we've not really experienced it like that. So now, when you go on the ground to actually say, okay, how can we get this other one to also stand out? You go on the ground and have people taste it first. Before you even go into experimenting to see how we're going to put out the content. Go on the ground. Give people, without showing them the label of what it is, say, taste this. What do you think? And those are the people that you find like in your in-store activation. You find somebody, please taste this sausage, you know, please taste this mayo. You know what I mean? First of all, you want to get the first-hand information of what people feel, the sentiment. So that's why that also matters. So before you get to that, understand like your standing with like your brand. Once you get to understand that, then you know, okay, maybe we should use UCG. Maybe we shouldn't.
A key takeaway from this conversation is you have to get your hands dirty.
Yes.
You know, you can't just be at your desk and think like, oh, this is going to work.
This is going to work. Like, okay, this is cool. It works in America, so let's try it.
Let's get it and just change the names and put Mulenga here and put Chanda there and expect it to work. You really have to get your hands dirty, go in there and speak to your clients, your target market, and see what will work and what won't work. Thank you so much. Any other thing that you'd like to add that we haven't touched on up to this point?
I would like to just add that, first of all, content is beautiful.
Yeah.
It what makes the social media world today, the digital world.
Yes.
The world of digital and marketing is nothing without content because it's the foundation for everything that we put around there. So please do not underrate it. Do not underrate the power that it has. I remember sharing a very good friend of mine. She did a post on LinkedIn. She was talking about how powerful content is and copy. Sometimes when you look at people who do content, and I've noticed this even like in my Zambian context, I'll tell somebody what I do or like what my profession is, like, like, that's a job. You know what I mean? Don't you just sit on your Facebook and come up with ideas?
Well, yeah, but it's a job, yes.
It's a job. Yeah. Like, it's an actual job. Yeah. Like, you know, people really underrate the power that it has. But it's the copy. It's the content that puts out there that makes or breaks brands and people and even countries. So the perception that people will have about Zambia is because of something that's put out there. And that thing is the content. Even when you, like, do your Google, your research and stuff. So it really matters. It's very important. Let's not underrate it. It's a powerful, powerful tool. Mm-hmm. And once utilized well, mm-hmm. the results are immaculate. They're just beautiful. The results are just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm taking so many very personal notes because, like I said, I'm trying to work on my LinkedIn and figure out what works. So I have a lot of homework here. And even as a team, we'll have a lot of homework to see what we can do to make our campaign management better. So we have a couple more questions that we ask every one of our guests. So the first one is, is there a brand, a Zambian brand, that embodies the Zambian spirit for you?
Definitely Zambia Breweries. All their campaigns, mm-hmm. I feel like for me right now, really embody who the Zambian people are.
Yeah.
Really love that brand. Mm-hmm. And to an extent, this one is controversial. I have two.
Okay.
So first of all, Zambian Breweries, I think they do awesome stuff. Yeah. Then the next one is Tradekins. Controversial because there's always that thing of like the copycat and what. But listen to me when I say this. I say this because most of the content that I see that's put out from that particular brand mm-hmm. really brings it back home for me. I mean, when I listen to like a boom, we have boom, like it's always like, you know what
ours.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's ours. It feels Zambian. Mm-hmm. And then I look at like that brand itself, I'm like, oh, this is us. Like, you know, even how they put out like their stuff is very relatable. Mom, the people that they use, beautiful, even the dances, the visuals, I feel like it really embodies who we are as a Zambian people. It's funny, it's vibey, you know, it's out there, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
thank you for sharing. I think we've had Trade Kings come up and we've almost put like a ban on.
Yes.
Please don't say Trade Kings. Please don't. Not because it's not a good brand, but because it's come up so much more. And I think we believe that there are other brands that are also doing a good job that we would like highlighted. But I don't think we've had anyone say Zambian Breweries. And that's so interesting. I watched the Icon one from a friend of mine. There's a colleague of, a friend of mine who works there,
mm-hmm.
and I saw it kind of evolve like this new shiny, and then it's like, oh, that's what it is. And I'm not a consumer, but it was really, really cool.
Yeah, and that's the thing, again, Grace, like I said, it might not really, and this is the thing about working in this industry, you might not really support like the thing of
the
what is, or
product.
You might,
might
not consume
use
it,
the product,
but you see like the things that people are doing that, and trust me, I've worked on some brands that when my mom thinks, you work for this brand, right? It makes you question a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's the technique, the quality of what's being put in that you can also appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Is there a book that you've read that you're like, I read this book and it changed my mind and it really, really empowered me to do my marketing work well?
Yes. So I've got two, and I'm still in the middle of reading them.
Mm-hmm.
They're really exciting books.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is Building Brand Story by Donald Miller.
Will you believe me if I tell you that our previous guest that we just recorded said that exact same book? And it's in my Kindle right now. And I'm going to start reading it like this coming week.
Yeah, so like this book really helped me stop writing content that's brand-faced.
Mm.
It helps you like realize like, you're not. Yes, it's about the brand, but it's about the people that are going to consume this content.
Mm.
So that really changed like my framework of how I write,
mm-hmm.
because now I'm more caring to like what is the audience going to think when I do write this.
Yeah.
So that's a really big recommendation. I think every person that's in content writing or marketing should read it because it will open you up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another book called Contagious,
mm-hmm.
Why Things Catch On, mm-hmm. by Joanna Baker. I don't know if mm-hmm. I'm saying it right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, it's really great for like understanding some content spreads,
mm-hmm.
like why certain content will resonate and it will blow up and it will be good and why some of them just die.
Mm-hmm.
So like they really explain that in the book, and I feel like it's a really important book for somebody to read if they're in like marketing or like content writing, because it really brings things home and it's essential, especially for like in a world like Zambia and Africa, at large. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. I'm going to start reading that Donald Miller book. if this isn't a sign... Back-to-back recommendations is definitely the push I needed to get into that book. Our final question is, listening to the podcast, being a guest on the podcast, who is somebody that you'd like to listen to on the podcast?
To come here on the show?
Mm.
Can I recommend three people?
Shoot.
I mean, I would really love to see my boss come on here. His name is Sekota Soya Bones.
Okay.
I feel like he's got a lot of experience when it comes to like marketing in itself. Mm-hmm. And he's just worked like around a lot of like media agencies and mm-hmm. he knows the know-how of how things run. Mm-hmm. That would be a great guest to have on and to also get like his face and experience.
So are you going to plug us?
I will.
Thank you so much.
I definitely will. And another person that I would recommend is a very close friend of mine. Her name is Marika Msonda. Mm-hmm. She's a great marketer. Mm-hmm. She works with a very upcoming big brand. I don't want to mention it here, but yeah, I think she would make a great guest. Mm-hmm. She has lots of insight as well. Like, it's an FCG brand, so she does a lot of like marketing in that. I feel like that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. That's somebody I would recommend. Mm-hmm. Another good friend and workmate of mine is Mbaita Mayembe. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of like experience in marketing as well as like planning and like campaigns and strategy and things like that. That would be a great guest. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. That's three recommendations. Three recommendations that, as Mukwemba would say, you and since we know you,
we're going to connect you.
You need to connect us to them.
Yeah.
So I'll be in your DMs just checking in and saying, hey, Kasongo, remember that thing about having these people as guests on the podcast?
Yeah.
Otherwise, thank you so much for coming. I've really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Me too. I think it's been a really practical It's been a great one. girls
yes,
show.
Girls episode. Maybe we should do more. Yeah. Maybe we should do more of these girls, all girls podcast episodes. But it's been really good to have you. I'm glad we got to make the time to come and have this conversation.
Thank you so much.
To our listeners, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did. We hope that you got some practical insights for how you can, whether it's a personal brand, a business brand, for how you can manage campaigns and create content that sticks. Please follow us on our social media. We are on Facebook. We're on X. We are on LinkedIn. We are on TikTok as well, so please go and follow us there. We are The Marketing Pulse. Otherwise, thank you for joining us, and remember to keep your finger on The Marketing Pulse. We hope that you have enjoyed today's episode just as much as we have.
Till next time, remember to keep your finger on The Marketing Pulse.